You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries, find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints out in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like breaking day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size
like
and everything else, they just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
The hand was freaking out.
Into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives. It's a movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Walls, what you think I've seen? Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and we're talking moxie joke. Well, party gon' help. I haven't seen John's walls. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Discardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, everybody, hello. This is Marco Bill. Last minute changes in the show here. Tom could not make it tonight. Two reasons. One is he isn't in range, and two, he isn't in range. But anyway, Alex and I are on tonight. We're going to provide the show. Tom will be back next week. Okay. And Alex, are you there?
I sure am, Marco. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Well, we have a pretty good lineup for you tonight. It's a full program, so we're not going to waste any time. Alex, why don't you do a couple of shout-outs, and then we'll get into our first guest here.
Definitely. Wanted to do a quick shout-out, you know, to the working wounded that we have here on BigfootLive.com. A.K. Riley, probably out of the hospital and limbering up that knee to get ready to go out in the field. We got Steve Dismore off in Kentucky, taking care of his wife and nursing his back together. Jody is here tonight, so we don't have to give her a shout-out, but we're glad she's here. And then, of course, we got my mom in the hospital tonight. She's probably not listening, but maybe she'll listen to the archive version, as she does sometimes. She's not feeling well. She's got some lung problems, so it's going to be okay, we hope. So shout-out to everybody there that's not feeling well, and how about a quick shout-out to the guys in the chat room. We won't shout out to the people that are going to be on the show tonight, but we got 24/7. We got Bill Green. We got Lee Joyner in the house. We got Leroy. We got Mike Kay in Ohio. Has been in the room since like 2:30 this afternoon. Thanks for the support, Mike. We got Navajo Bigfoot from Arizona and up in that area, I believe. And we got Rex all the way from Massachusetts, taking care of my home state. And then, of course, everybody's friend, the Snake Man from Paris, Texas, and Tom's gentle giant Steve up there in the Pacific Northwest. So, Marco, who's our first guest tonight? I believe it's JC. JC, are you on the air, my friend?
I'm trying to unmute him
okay.
right now. Okay, JC, I think you're on.
Johnny Johnson.
JC, I think you're on now, buddy. Well, nope, I think he dropped off and he's dialing back in.
okay. Well, you know, we'll talk about what JC's going to talk about tonight. He has a great couple of great photos. He has a photo of a Ware print, and that's coming from the locals. We're not sure what it is. It looks almost like a giant bear track with triangular claws. Everyone knows bears usually have rounded claws. The top of their claw is rounded. Whatever this creature is has, like, diamond-pointed, triangular-pointed claws. Very, very unique. Great picture on JC's Facebook page. He's also got another picture taken in the dock, I believe by his stealth cam, but we'll get that straight from him. We spoke about this one before, of some really good eye shine. He's got a great view of some really good eye shine. I've seen a lot of photos of eye shine lately, but JC's is some of the best. It actually might even be a video. So, JC, are you back with us yet?
Not yet. I'm trying to dial him up.
Okay.
What's the matter, Cole?
He's switching to a regular phone, so he's going to keep trying. I guess his cell phone was no. Rex, you're in New Hampshire, I guess, huh? You're just over the border? Well, you know, if you ever want to get back into Massachusetts, let me know. We'll get you back in. You know, maybe you just didn't know the right people. Just kidding, Rex. Someone's calling in on my call waiting.
Don't worry about it. I got it. I'm trying to get JC is trying to call you probably.
It's an 858 number, so I think that's coming from your area. As long as it's not you, Marco, we'll just ignore it.
Well,
a message.
Hold on, and let me try to get in here. Hold on.
Navajo Bigfoot is up in that Washington Pass area. He's just south of there. He's going to try to head up there. Now, that's right near where JC is, too. Rex is in the chat room correcting me. He works in Massachusetts. He lives in New Hampshire. I'm just partial to, you know, a real city like Massachusetts. New Hampshire's where you go play. Kidding everybody. Marco, do you want us to try for JC, or would you like to go to Jody so we can...
Yeah, I think we better go to, let's go to Jody. And JC, I got his voicemail, so he's trying something, I'm not sure. Jody, press your *7 button. And Chris, could you please push *6 to mute out?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
How are you dealing this week?
Wait a minute, do you want me to unmute out or do we stay on?
So I want you to stay on, Jody. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Doing very well, very well. How are you feeling this week? We'll get that over with first. I know you were a little under the weather last week.
Yeah, my knee. I had a knee surgery, so yeah, I'm pretty bad. And that Bigfoot, I don't know. I still have my dreams about it, especially when I'm medicated.
Oh, I
make the word. But yeah, so we guys... can you hear me pretty good?
I can. So tell me about your dreams or your sightings.
The sightings and where I live. Me and Jane was talking today, and I said, you know, I just want so bad when I get better to take you and Tom, everybody up there, because something's just making me always want to go back. And I got to figure out what they are and what they want, because I know I can find them. You know, I know where they're at. And I know that ball of light, it just aggravates me, that ball of light. It's intelligent and it's alive. It's got something to do with them. And I got to prove it. It's like something I have to prove that it's there. you know, and it's been aggravating me for a long time. And it's just, these things are just so dread. You just feel, I know you feel dread and this awful feeling around them. And it's like, but I still want to go back, you know, even though I feel that horrible feeling when they come around. You know, have to go back.
That's right. It'll occupy your mind when you see some of these things, right?
Yeah, you feel your instincts tell you, and you feel dread. I know a lot of people feel that dread feeling when they come, or when they're there watching you, or when you see them, you feel that horrible feeling. But it's like, I have to go back. It's like something I have to do when I get better, you know, after my knee gets better. I want to go back, and it's not very far from me. And I know how to track them down. I've done it, you know. And it's like, I took people up there and done that. You know,
What state are you in, Jody, without getting too specific?
I'm right on the, as long as Matt Moneymaker will come after me, I'm on the borderline of North Carolina and Tennessee. I'm not far from where I lived.
Okay.
Just a few hours.
We got people in that area, so, you know, when you get that knee back together, Tom will get some people right out to you again.
Yes, because I know that I'm like you. I got to prove, I don't want to kill nothing. I don't want to kill them, but I don't want to kill me either, you know, but it's like I have to prove to myself and other people that there is something about them and they're intelligent and they're not an animal. You know, they're like us, but they're smart. You know, they're human looking, and they're giant, and they have to. They're just something. They're not an animal. They're no animal. They're not an ape. And it's like what I've seen. They're giants, and they're human, and they're scary, and they're hairy. You know, and it's like they speak, and when they speak, I want to understand them when they speak that language.
That's correct. We've had many people, especially in the past few months, say that they try to repeat words they hear you saying, and they try to speak to you, either copying you or, you know, they're trying to communicate. But they definitely try to is what.
The whole time we lived there in our home, we couldn't even sleep in our bedrooms. We both slept in the living room with guns every night, every single night. And they would, you can hear them speaking, and it's like they're there, and you can see them on the, you know, we knew they was outside. We hear them fighting or arguing, and we can, you know, we knew they were coming because we come in the house right before dark. You can hear them coming off the mountain, torches, waking trees, and talking and walking, and it's like, oh, God, here they come. So it's time to go in. We get everything done and lock the doors and sit there and just and all night stay awake. We stay awake and guard the doors. And it only broke one back door in the middle of the night. It pulled it open, broke the lock and everything, one pull, and started slapping the floor. And I'm wide awake saying, well, we're going to die tonight too. You know, here it comes. And they're not afraid of walls. They're not afraid to come in your house. You know, they will come in. And it's like, no door's going to stop them. No lock's going to stop them. And it's like,
Do they break it down? How do they come in?
Oh, it just pulled on the handle. One pull, I was sitting in the living room, and the back door is right not far. There's this little wall blocking it, and it just pulled that back door open. You could hear it real strong. Just pulled it open, the ball busted the lock. And then it started, you could hear it grunting and slapping the floor, boom, real hard. The utility room floor that the washer and dryer was. I said, oh, this is it. I'm holding the gun. I said, it's going to come on in. This is night. I leave all the lights on in the house. I think, oh, light, please stop it coming in. And I knew the TV's loud, so it'd scare it. I think it would scare it, you know, not to come in, thinking it's people in there, it's a bunch of people. But I knew it knew more than that. I knew it knew that we were just there because, like I said, that ball light was intelligent. I have it on film, the ball light. I have other things. And they would study us. And thank God to Bob, you know, used to come down and help us, him, you know, try to help, but he wouldn't stay the whole night, but I wish he would have, you know, because he would experience a lot of that with us, because he would leave to go back to the motel, But I wish he would have stayed at our house. I think because it's his morals and his wife and everything. But you know, I wish he would have just stayed there. And that other guy that used to come with him, and he believed us, and I can't mention his name because what he does. And but he come down, and the kind of job he does, I cannot mention his name because he can get in trouble. He come down to help us, and he went out with a 44 Magnum. He come in pale. He says, he knew he believed us. You know, and it's like, I know they're there, and I want to take you guys so bad back there even to help me. You know, help me understand, you know, what these things, so I can live with it, you know, to understand mentally, you know, well, what they want.
You don't have to be upset about that because nobody totally understands what they are. We all have our ideas, but basically nobody's an expert in this field. Everybody's learning. We're all learning. So we're all kind of just like you after we have a sighting or a close encounter, we're all wondering, what was that? What did I actually see? You know?
But like the ball of light. Did they mention that to you? Anybody mention the ball of light to you?
You did a little earlier.
The ball of light.
Now, does the ball of light seem to move intelligently?
Yes, it watches you. Yeah, and there's no beam to it. There's no light beam or nothing. It's just a round ball. And it studies you. And then they come down. That's when the Bigfoot comes down. Right after that.
So the ball light and the Bigfoot sightings are connected.
Yes. And I totally believe it has something to do with him. And it is, I got the ball light on film for a long time. And you can see it. It's a solid ball white light. Solid. And there's no being to it like a trick. Or anything. This thing will study you. It looked us up and down. It would just, it's freaking weird. And then that's when the Bigfoot would come down. And it would just scare the crap out of you, that ball light. It's like, Jenga's, well, there it is watching us again. Come looking your windows at you and study you and just does weird things.
How big would this ball of light be?
Sometimes it would be smaller. And then, like, the size of a softball.
Okay.
And then sometimes size of a saucer. You know, a big saucer, like almost a plate.
Wow.
It's different sizes. And it would study you. And the one I have on tape that stayed a long time, right out back behind the door, right up going up the hill, and it's right close to the house, and it's staying close to the ground, and it's moving back and forth to the square. And it's staying right there like it's watching. Like, I see you too. Yeah, and that one's pretty big, and it's staying there watching it. And it's not no light, flashlight beam. You can't see through it.
Now, you say they control the Bigfoot. Do they?
I think it has something to do with them, because that's when they come down to our house, or they cross our property, or we, and that, you know, when I know they're coming. I said, oh, man, that means they're down here. That's when we know they're coming. We knew they were coming down.
Do you think they come because of the light, or do you think
I think it's something to do with, I think it's them, something to do with them, part of them. When I lived there that whole time, that few years, when I studied it myself and learned myself what I can learn, I watched and studied things, me and her, and we went out. You learned that it would go fast sometimes, and you could see it come down the creek real fast, the creek bed, the creek, you know. And then there he was on the porch taking off the light fixture, and he would sit on the porch, Bigfoot would. There's the ball light, and then there's Bigfoot taking the light fixture off. And he plants our stuff on the door. And it's like, God, he's outside, and the porch light's on, you can see him.
Wow.
He's right on the top porch. And he would come down the creek. When that ball light would come down the creek, he would be there. He would be right there, like it's him. Like the ball light's him. You know, I don't understand it. It's like it's got something to do with him or them or her. You know, when it comes flying down the creek, it's on the porch, and there he is standing. So tell me that ain't got nothing to do, it's got something to do with it. When you watch and study that, I stared and waited hours for it to come down. And I waited and watched, and I wouldn't take my eyes off that area. And I said, oh, here it comes. I had two of the people with me. And it flew down the creek, and there it was standing on the porch. It was like it was coming so fast when that one came so fast down the creek. It had a little lightning tail on the end of it. It's a very short one because it was moving so fast. When it got to our porch, it was standing there. There he was, taking off the light fixture, playing with the door. I said, well, it's, you know, it's bad. It's like, it's how? That light was there, and then here, there he's standing.
We're getting past it, Alex. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jody. We're running. We got too many guests on tonight, and we're running.
That's all right. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. You're doing really good. We like it. So, Alex, Casey is back
thank
in.
You so much. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Okay.
Jody, every time you come on, Jody, you thrill everybody. We had all kinds of emails. They wanted you, by popular man, they wanted you to come back on and wanted to hear some more and wanted to make sure you're all right, too. So
that's good. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on tonight, and we'll have you on again later on. And as Tom said last week, Tom said the week before last because you couldn't make it last week, but if he gets a chance to get out there, you know, you guys will be taking a look at everything, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Jody. And if you want to push your *6 button, you can listen to the rest of the show if you'd like.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, JC is on, and Alex, if for everybody's information, you go up to www.bigfootlive.com. Under the guest listing where JC's at, you'll have both his web page and you'll have his photo album on his Facebook page. So go ahead, Alex and JC.
JC, go.
That's another thing I'd like to say. Are you there? Hello.
You're there. You're doing good.
Alive and well. Awesome. Jody.
Jody,
add me on
just
Facebook
left. Sorry.
She didn't.
Yeah, she did. She left. She hung up.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, hopefully she listens to the archives. Jody, add me on Facebook or look up our Crypto Four Corners website. I would like to talk to you. I would like to help out. So, I mean, we can talk.
I'll get a hold of her after the show or tomorrow. And I'll have her give you a call, JC.
Where is she located?
I don't know. Right
Tennessee, JC.
Right.
Tennessee, North Carolina.
Okay. I'd like to talk to this woman. I really would. So we need to chat. I can help. I can. Anyway, gentlemen, how are you tonight?
We're doing well, JC. How about yourself? Incredible.
I typed in from the outside to look at my Facebook page and to look at the pictures. You're going to have to add me as your friend. Ha ha. I didn't mean that. I thought we could link right into the pictures. It doesn't link right into them. But I would love anyone out there who would like to add me as their friend on Facebook. I'd be happy to have you, and you can look at all the photos. You can download the photos. You can study the photos. If you publish them anywhere, just give us credit for being the authors of the photos. That would be wonderful. But I've been building up a photo epilogue on Facebook for a little while now, and I thought that was probably the best medium of all the other mediums presently. Especially, we can kind of like pick and choose our friends there at Facebook. And even though they share information, they probably do some terrible things with what you share with Facebook. It's still not a bad vehicle. It's a pretty good vehicle overall for sharing information, I think. I could be incorrect or terribly wrong, but I think it's a good vehicle.
It's a great networking software. It makes what we're trying to do a lot easier.
I think so.
I personally like the other one that we use a little better, but I think this one seems to be a little more popular these days.
It works out that way. And, you know, if you're going to hook up with like-minded people, and I'm telling you, you know, I've got on my friend list. I probably get people who are taking space shuttles to Jupiter and stuff like that. But in the same token, I mean, we're looking, I guess we're looking for truth seekers. That's what it comes down to. And we're going to get peoples of all walks of entities and life and beliefs and things like that involved in what we're doing. And I think that's a good thing because, you know what, we go back to the North American Portean Society where all theories are equal until one is proven. And all these people are out there looking for something, grabbing for something, wanting to be enlightened, wanting to have this, that, and otherwise. I'll tell you what, if we come to the table with proof of anything, even a higher power, even a real God of the universe, if we come to the table with proof of that, anything, then we'll have their attention, won't we? No matter who these people are. So I'm adding everybody, you know. Hey, whoever adds me as a friend, I'm adding you. And when the truth comes to the table, I'm going to put the truth on the table as friends because you've added me. And you'll get to see the truth for yourself. And then you'll have to look back and question everything. But it's all going to be there on the table.
Well, that's a very good notion. I think it's also a quite true theory. I do the same thing. You know, please add me. Let me know what you're doing. You'll be able to know what I'm doing. It's all out there for everyone to see. That's what it's all about. You know, it makes it easier to prove stuff, you know. And I don't mean show it off, but show it to people who can give you some constructive criticism or maybe, you know, just intelligent theory. And we see that happening on your photos, don't we? We have some great conversations with your photos.
We do, and, you know, especially when we went off into the Jaguar genre, I think you were the most well-informed on the Jaguar, especially bringing up Macho B. I'd never heard of him. I had no idea they had a healthy Jaguar in captivity at one time. I mean, you know, a fairly full-grown adult. Now, what I'm hearing about up in the mountains that I'm working is something probably in the 400 and 500 pound variety.
And you know,
they
can get that big because, you know, Macho B was the proof. He's living, he's healthy, you know, he looked like a movie star. And he was just a little boy. And he was probably close
yes,
to 200. And we're having mountain lions get up in the 350 range. That's about twice as big as they normally get. So imagine a jaguar possibly twice as big as he could normally get in, you know, 250, 300, so double that. And you're talking as big as a tiger. And that would just be the Shaquille O'Neal of jaguars. It's not, you know, out of the realm.
No, it's not. And the thing is, when we go back to the posterity of captive animals, we're looking at the things we've had in zoos for years, and we're studying what we've had in zoos for years, and it just goes back to so many indeterminate things, as in reptiles. Reptiles are indeterminate growth entirely. Snapping turtles, dinosaurs, you name it, you know, lizards, indeterminate growth. Everything we're basing on is what we've had in captivity.
And we've all seen fish in fish tanks. The smaller the fish tank, the smaller the fish. The larger the fish
tank,
the larger the fish. And,
exactly.
You know, up where you are, these creatures can really live a long time, right? I mean, you have the four seasons. You have plenty of animal life. You have plenty of plant life. Did I lose you, Jimmy?
Indeterminate growth. No, I'm still here.
Now let's talk about this, and hopefully I'll say it correctly, Weir print that we got?
Weir. And it's a weird. And when I started showing different people this track because of the triangular claws, I'm like, I've never seen anything like this. And the locals in the area got back to me and they said, this is a weir. And I go, like in weir wolf? They said, yes. Now, I've talked to some people earlier this week. Hopefully they're listening in tonight. But, I mean, with our skinwalker genre, and not skinwalker genre, because, I mean, what we're doing and dealing with out here is very real as far as the skinwalker, but something of this nature to show up in this area is kind of like one of the Bloombergs taking you and I out for dinner, okay? They don't associate with us, okay? They don't. This is a different class of unidentified evil to show up in that area, and that's why people have shown the print to are very surprised and very shocked to see something show up in this particular area. This is the realm of the skinwalker, not the realm of something in the weir or the werewolf genre. This is now, what I'm being fed back to.
What, JC, and one thing, and I've, you know, whenever we get together, that's where my curiosity always ends up going when I'm with either you or Leonard. But one thing I'm confused on, and I know most laymen are, is what is the difference between a skinwalker and a shapeshifter, or is there no difference? And some of us are confused. Can you tell us that?
Well, Tom Biscardi, and, you know, a couple of years ago, Tom Biscardi had somebody show up, and he watched this guy shapeshift in front of him. You know, he confessed this on radio, you know, exactly the story. I think what happens, and let's go back to the weir track. The weir would not associate with a skinwalker. Okay, so we've got different forms of evil and different levels of evil and things like that. A weir would not associate with something of a skinwalker variety. A weir is something else, but a weir also shapeshifts from a human form into whatever form they take on.
I disagree.
But in the social class of this particular evil, they would not associate with a skinwalker. So to have that track show up in an area where you would typically find Bigfoot tracks, skinwalker tracks, is very unusual.
But they're both evil,
and what
right?
Tom Biscardi saw, you know, entirely, entirely evil. What Tom Biscardi saw is probably a weir or a werewolf. He saw something shapeshift right in front of him. Immediately, within seconds, he saw the snout grow out. He saw the ears go up and get pointed. He saw the hair come out of the face. All within seconds, he saw the shapeshifting. In this vehicle that he was driving and or a passenger, he saw this so quick and so immediately, and he probably was dealing with a weir or a werewolf.
Why?
The shape-shifting, the skinwalking that we have going on out here, they emulate the animal for some time. They wear the hides of the animal, and eventually they probably take on 90% of the characteristics of the animal that they're trying to emulate. So there's your distinction. And
now,
I don't think it's as easy for the skinwalker out here to shapeshift as it was for what Tom Biscardi saw right in front of his eyes, shapeshift immediately. I think what's going on out here takes a little more time and a little more effort to shift and shape into the creature that they want to emulate.
And
five
things,
over, Alex.
Okay. Okay. We're a little over, but we'll have to have JC back because this
absolutely.
Is
this is about an hour subject, JC. I tell you what, we have to have a whole show just directed towards this stuff. It's pretty interesting.
God bless you guys. You have a great evening. And
thank you for
coming
on.
Stay away from evil. Shun evil.
walk away.
Take care, JC.
God bless you guys.
God bless you, sir. Thank you. Next, Michael.
Well, Alex, how's about let's get out there to West Virginia to our buddy Chris Allen. Chris, could you hit your star 7 button?
I think he already did.
He may have.
Chris, are you there with us?
Hey, can you hear me?
We can.
How you doing, Marco? Hey, how you doing, Alex? Listen, the guy you just had on there, JC, I'm on your Facebook site right now. It's amazing. I've got on my phone as I'm speaking with you. I've got the exact same photos except for right here where my son saw this Bigfoot, the dog-faced Bigfoot.
Yeah, did you notice that, didn't you? I was going to tell you to go there.
I'm on the page right now, and those are the exact photos that I have on my phone except for, it, you know, different terrain.
Right.
Now, Chris, do you think the claws on your creature, on the dog man that you saw, or the were, maybe it was a were, were the claws triangular on the top?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the photos I have are identical to everyone that he has on his site right here, especially where he's got the pack of cigarettes. And as I was telling you earlier on the phone today when we talked, my mom drew me a picture of the very first photo that he has on here, number one of the five, where it's kind of like a long shape, you know, 8 to 12 inches long. That's the exact same one, where it almost looks like it's the arch of the leg coming down the all the way into the stand area. I'm not sure how long it is like that, but she drew me a picture that her drawing looks exactly like photo one, except for the toes were more straight across the top, more flattened, like just straight across. And I've seen the exact tracks out here in the field, though. I've got on my phone. I'll be glad to send them to you, you know, email you or text message you the photos, but they're identical.
Well, you know, Chris, you know, one thing I was going to tell you, you know, if you go on the website, on the Four Corners website, and take a look at their guests, you'll see Linda Godfrey listed on there in her book, and you take a look at the creature that she's got in that book, but take a look at her story. She's written, she's from Wisconsin, she's the author of this Beast of Bray Road, and she has a lot. She has about 12, 14, 15 years of gathering information on this thing.
Wow. You know, I have talked to numerous people since then because I've listed on some of my numerous websites that I have, trying to find people that would like to get together and go out and just spend some time out in the woods researching this, if there's any fellow people that are like-minded in the area. I haven't found a lot of takers on that. I find a lot of people that is like, wow, sounds fun and adventurous, but, you know, sounds like a little bit too much danger. Yes, there is danger in the unknown, but that's the only way you get to know the unknown is seeking the danger. First time people flew an airplane, you know, it wasn't safe. But look at aviation today. If we're to better understand our Earth and the creatures up on the Earth, we have to go out there, and we owe it to our own self to investigate, seek, and find.
How far are you from northern Georgia?
Northern Georgia. I would say I would be 500-600 miles.
So it's a little bit of a drive, about 8-hour drive.
The areas that I'm at up here, I'm up in the close to the Charleston, West Virginia area.
Got it.
Where I'm going to school in Beckley, which is, you know, a good hour from Charleston.
Got it.
More in the mountain area.
Go ahead, Alex. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's okay, Marco.
Now my mom, actually, where she lives at, she has been hearing a lot of the howls that I've been describing to her, and I asked her, are you sure what you're hearing is not an owl, an old screech owl, barn owl, or something? She's like, no. She went to your website, and the noises that she heard are exactly what you have, you know, posted, where you hear the whooping type of sound that you'll hear, and it won't make a noise. And today she called me up where she heard a tree, like it just sounded like it snapped it. And I'm not saying it wasn't the weather doing that, but yeah, she feels like every time she goes out in the yard, there's been something watching and observing. And I cannot tell you the dozens and dozens of times I've seen 7 creatures in my lifetime. The most recent was when my son, the 4-year-old, saw the dog-faced Bigfoot. I only saw it spin and run into the woods. And I actually have photos of the tracks in the exact area where it was at. I don't have plaster to pour into the cast. The time I would have got plaster, the rainstorm took out the tracks quite a bit because it's a pretty soft bottom over there. The area that I live at right now is called the Bottoms. So you have a lot of sediment out there, and when it rains, it gets covered up quickly. But at least I do have great photos, and I took detailed photos of it.
Well, Chris, get them over to me. I'll get them on that section. I'm off for the next 4 days. We'll get you a section with all your stuff there. We'll get the links over to Marco. He can link from the Bigfoot Live site for you. I put up some great links from your video. Of course, that's nothing to do with Bigfoot, but we got to keep music growing too, right?
That's right. And by the way, I've got a lot of fans that listen to your show on a regular, and they become regular listeners. And they email me all the time, and they leave comments on my pages all the time about your show. And I like to let all my fans that are out there listening, you know, I currently have 8 World Top 10 hit songs without my new album, which is soon out. And I get requests all the time because they hear me on these expeditions. Are you not doing your music anymore? And you're full-time in school. Yes, I am still doing my music, so my fans don't have to worry. I have always looked for Bigfoot. I will always continue looking for Bigfoot. And my music is something that I will always continue doing. I make the time to get both done. And I will continue looking for Bigfoot and that. And speaking of that, I've had a couple of people I've talked to this week, other than myself. It was kind of a weird dream to have where the lady that was on there a while ago was talking about the dreams. I had a dream myself, and Carrie had a dream that night, and a fan of mine also had a dream that night that we were out camping, and we heard a noise. And I came out of the tent with my .45 at my side, and here it came. The Bigfoot came right and pounced on me before I had a chance to do anything, and it killed me in the dream. And I had a dream, and two other people had the same dream. And does that stop me? No, it's not going to stop me. It was a dream, but it would better prepare me. It'll make my actions a little more response.
Don't leave the .45 in the holster, Nick.
Well, that's my problem. I've always kept it in my holster locked. And next time I go out there, I'll at least have it unfastened.
Either that or have food in your hand.
I'm getting ready to buy a huge, very powerful flashlight that maybe I could stun its vision being nocturnal coming at me if I blind it with a light or something. It's the same one the officers use, so who knows?
Well, Chris, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it, and thanks for giving us an update.
Hey, you're welcome.
We'll take a look around here and see if we can't make a drum roll for some participation in your area there if you want to do an expedition.
I'm always looking for expedition. I go out. This is how I love to exercise, and it keeps my mind occupied as well and gives me a break from the schoolwork because I'll tell you what, it's been a while since I've been in school, and now I'm doing this full-time to get my associate in aviation. And, I love every opportunity I can get out in the woods, and I love to have some people that would like to go on these expeditions with me, and I do this year-round, so it's not just in the warmer time. I'll go out in the blizzards. It don't matter to me. If there is a truth to be known, I'm out there looking for it, and year-round for me. So anybody anyone in the Charleston, Montgomery, West Virginia area, I'm sure there's a link or something on your website where they can find out how to get in touch with me. Link up with me, and let's get out there and find this thing.
Gotcha, and we'll keep in touch with you too, Chris. Thanks so much for coming on tonight.
You're welcome. Everyone, take care. And Alex, I'm sorry to hear about your mom being in the hospital, and I hope she gets better. She'll be in our prayers.
Thank you, Chris. Should be welcome. Glad to hear that.
Y'all have a wonderful evening.
Good night,
too, Chris.
You can star 6 if you want and listen to the rest of the show.
All right, we'll do. Take care.
Hey, Mike.
Well, Alex, Jan Allen is next.
We're going from one Allen to another Allen, huh?
That's it. Jan, are you there, my friend?
I am here.
You still there, Alex?
I sure am. I said, hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. Now, tell us before we get off the subject, because, you know, me and you could go talking about life forever. Tell us about
5 minutes.
Tell us about the great stuff going on at your location.
Well, right here where I'm at the house, the last thing I've had is really the continuing thing is that this creature keeps coming up and unplugging my backyard light that I have up in the back of the yard that shines over the fenced-in part of the yard where the dogs are. And he keeps coming out sometime during the day. It's toward evening, I'm figuring, but he keeps unplugging the light. And I can't catch him at it. I put out trail cams, and he's not going. He doesn't come around. And one day last week, when the batteries went dead on the webcam, I took the webcam down. The next night, he unplugged the light on me. So he knows what's going on, apparently.
And obviously, you know, there's not many people near you. So it's not like somebody's sneaking in the yard to unplug the light because it's shining in there. Windows, because there's no windows for it to shine in, correct?
Oh, no, no, none at all. Actually, it's about 30, 35 feet from the back porch from the house. And now there's, I mean, we got people that's relatively kind of close, but, you know, none that would come down here and do anything like that. You know, it's just too big of a risk of getting caught.
And, I mean, you can't even see your house from Google Earth because there's so much foliage.
Right, yeah, it's just definitely covered up.
Okay. Now, also, I guess they're leaving you building materials too, right?
Yeah, actually, last month he left me a piece of wood, and I still haven't figured that one out. You know, after I had the week before when I had the three loud whoops on that Friday night, nothing else happened. And
well,
I guess
about a week. Did you do anything with wood, you lazy bastard? Did you do anything with the wood? Did you use it? Did you build something with it?
No, actually, I didn't. I left it exactly where it was put. It's still there to right now.
Just kidding. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. What was you saying?
You're cutting out my joke. I said, how do you expect him to bring you anything else to build with if you haven't used the first step load?
He needs to bring me good wood. He brought me rotten wood. It fell apart.
Now, tell us about the wood, because I went right over that. But that was one of the most exciting things you've had happen lately. Tell us about those loud whoops and how the dogs react to them.
Well, actually, we had went out earlier that day, me and my wife, Brenda, and our tracker, and we had spent pretty much the day out, not here around the house, but a few miles from here. And we came back, and Craig left, and I had laid down on the couch because I didn't sleep the night before. And I dozed off, and I woke back up, and I looked to see what Brenda was doing, but she was get back in the recliner sawing logs. And I said, well, you know, she's asleep. I'm going back to sleep. And I rolled over on my side to see what was on the TV, and then I closed my eyes. And as soon as I closed my eyes, it wasn't 5 seconds, I got three real loud whoops. And they were so loud, it was like you would have been standing outside your door with an amplifier system. And just blasted it. It was that loud. And my first thought was, okay, kids down in the cul-de-sac. And I was like, well, no, wait a minute. There's no kids around here. And I got up and looked around. I couldn't find anything. You know, I didn't see anything. And after that, everything went dead until I got the wood.
Wow.
So, yeah, I haven't figured that out. Now, we had a sighting here at the end of July. That was in Coweta County, about 30 miles from me. And
did it have some really active, it's a really active area all around you this year?
Yeah, it's been pretty active. I mean, this whole year that me and Renda's lived here, you know, this started about 2 months after we moved in here. And I guess we built some kind of rapport with this creature because, I mean, it knows that, you know, we didn't go out hunting it with guns and this, you know, anything to hurt it. And I think it senses this, and it's never done anything to hurt the dogs. Now, we've been out here a few weeks ago, me and my case manager, manager was out one night in the yard talking. He was fixing to leave. It's about 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And we started hearing something up on the hill. And all of a sudden, a limb was thrown and hit the fence where the dogs were at. And, you know, he'll throw things at them. But, you know, as far as anything to hurt them, he's never done anything to hurt them.
And I think... just didn't fall out of the tree. It was thrown.
No, it was thrown. There, actually, right there where it hit, there's not... the closest tree to it's probably 20 feet. So, I mean, that's open area to the sky. And, you know, it hit the fence. And I think, you know, I just think we have a rapport because this thing's come up. It's thrown pebbles at the house, rocks at the house. It slapped the house. It slapped the house one night on the front of the house so hard that me and Rinda felt the vibration where we were sitting at in the living room. And, you know, he just does this stuff off and on. Now, I did go down in the ravine the other day below the house. You probably seen it on Google Earth. But I went down there, and it looks like I had never run across one where, you know, y'all talk about the formations that they build with the trees.
Uh-huh.
And right in the middle of this ravine, there's probably a 30-foot tall pine that's been pushed over in an angle. And then about 10 feet from it, there's another pine about the same size that's pushed over and they're crisscrossing each other. And then right up under the bottom of it, there, you know, where it crisscrosses at, it's probably about 15 feet off the ground. And laying on the ground under it was another, like, I would say a pole, but not a pole. It was a limb. But it was a fairly straight limb, and it's laying on the ground. And, you know, I'm scratching my head. Well, you know, is this going to be a part of this? You know, so I've stayed out from down there. I'm going to go back down there in a few days. I'm going to check and see if anything else has gone on. But I took footage with my camera that I had with me. I got VCR on it, or not VCR, video on it. And I was filming the ground, and I filmed it. And after I got back to the house and put it on the computer, I didn't notice them, but I seen two prints. Now, apparently they were real light impressions because I didn't pick them up with my eye, but there again, I was paying attention to this, what looked like it was the beginning of a formation. But you can clearly see them. You can clearly see them in the video when I swing around.
Do you have that video on your website, or have you posted it in your section on the forum yet?
No, I haven't posted it yet. I'm having a problem. I've tried to upload it, and I keep getting this deal, files too large, and blah, blah, blah. Actually, I might give you a call after a while if you're going to be around or be up, and maybe you can help me figure out how to get it done. But
no,
I've just been having a problem with it.
Definitely. Now, Marco, do we have Mitch on the line?
Yeah, I believe we do. Mitch,
okay.
Are you there still? Hey, Mitch.
Mitch, unmute if you can. Jan, don't go nowhere yet, just in case.
Okay, I'm sitting right here.
Mitch is here.
Hey, Mitch. Alex,
hey, Mitch. Jan, thank you for being on. We'll have you on again and keep us informed what's going on. Mitch? What's new?
Yeah.
Tell us about the nesting location. Tell us about everything. It's all yours.
You only got 5
okay.
minutes. We're going to have four minutes. We're going to have a 1 minute. Got to have 1 minute to close the show, okay? Sorry, Mitch.
Okay. Well, we were just up there checking out the cameras that we left on the nest, and one thing that happened was that we had another pair of hands attack our camera. With the long, skinny fingers again, hair on the back of them. This time it was at night, and my cameras ended up looking up in the sky. So we didn't get to see what came out of the nest. However, we did make a discovery of how they're breaking the trees. We think it's kind of a show of power. when they break these trees in half. And basically what they do is they start climbing up trees with their feet on the trunk and their hands up above their heads. And as they climb up, their body weight starts over-centering the tree. And eventually, you know, the higher up they go, they'll snap the tree in half. And so the bigger tree they can snap in half, the more macho, I guess, they are. So
gorillas do the same thing. And I'm not sure if it's the bigger the tree or the bigger the noise it makes.
That could be true. So, you know, a lot of times when people hear these snapping noises, they should be on the lookout for any trees that are snapped about halfway up. Because it's kind of a territorial marker, basically.
Now, do you think they're doing it, like, to scare humans away, or territorial to keep, you know, other male Bigfoot away?
Well, sometimes I think maybe it might be a marker so that they can find their own stuff from a distance. Because I've walked past a couple of these nests and not even seen them. And until I noticed the broken trees and then start looking around, and sure enough, there's a nest. So I think it might just be a marker saying, here it is, you know.
The bigger ones,
like the X's that are being left behind, I think those are actually territorial in nature. Saying this is my boundaries or this is my property, you know.
And do you think they have their own marks they make, like with the tree, their own design that tells who they are or tells what boundary it is or something like that? Or do you think it's just,
well,
go ahead.
I have in the place I've been searching, I've been finding that they mark the trees with urine. So I kind of think that that's what they're doing, is they make a marker and then they put their signature on it and, you know, say this is who I am and this is mine.
Mitch, tell everybody about where they can get...
1 minute there, Alex. I'm sorry, buddy.
Nope. That's why I was going the way I was going, Marco. I knew that. Mitch, tell everybody about where they can get your book, where they can see your videos, where they can see what you do.
Okay, I believe on Askrow you run streaming video of my videos. That's one place they can go, is the forum. And then you can also go to www.mogionmonster.com, and I've got all kinds of videos, photos, information, that kind of stuff. And then I am on Facebook now under Mitch Waite or Mitchell Waite. So,
and on YouTube, you have an incredible presence on YouTube, and that's under Susan Farnes?
Yes, Susan Farnes. And as many people know, Susan is my other half. She's the one that wrote the book, and I'm the one that did the research. So we're kind of a team effort.
Well, Mitch, thank you so much for coming on tonight, my friend. And we're going to have you on again next week, if you don't mind.
Great.
I need to give you some more time.
Okay.
And, Alex, we got to say good night to everybody right now. We got 40 seconds before the show ends, and I got to start the music or it's going to shut down.
That's up. Kudos. Salutations to everyone.
Yep. Good night, everybody. And Tom will be back next week. Take care.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints up in Ball Club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized there was something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
but it is shot like
everything else. They just were too realistic.
And they're
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody was manufactured
this. The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Big what creature lives. Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot Live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're loving together, reason for the facts.